Who remembers the very first Church of God service they attended? So I remember mine pretty clearly. A couple picked me up at my dad's house in their brown four-door Cutlass. I got in the back seat. The radio wasn't on. They didn't say much to me. And I remember thinking, if you were going to be abducted by a weird church group, this is exactly what it would feel like. So that first experience was kind of uncomfortable. So did you ever go through a phase where going to services felt uncomfortable? The title of my message today is Stages. My view of services has gone through three stages. The first was, no one better talk to me. The second one was, someone better talk to me. And the third one was, I better talk to someone. And the first stage was the fear stage. So when I was young and going to services alone, I got there as late as I could. I left as quickly as I could. And I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be talked to. The second stage was you hang out a little longer around the coffee or next to some plant or something, and you think, somebody better talk to me. You wait. You think it's others' obligation to come and make you feel welcomed. So stage one, no one talked to me. Stage two, someone talked to me. And then there's the all-important, I need to talk to someone. And this is when you grow up. You grow from thinking about what others should do for you, and you think about what you should do for others. You worry more about others feeling uncomfortable or excluded than you do about thinking about yourself. You don't need to turn there. James 1, verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion is what? To visit, to go to care for others. And James mentions orphans and widows, but the point is generic. The true Christian religion is to visit others, to care for others, and to make them feel welcomed and included. So my view of services has changed. My view of congregations has changed. When I first went, as I mentioned, stage one was, I don't want to be here. Get in, get out, and avoid talking to anybody. I went because I was supposed to. I knew it was a holy convocation, so I convoked, and I unconvoked as fast as humanly possible. I didn't want to be there. Stage two was, I don't want to be here. So especially when you're new in the church and you spend time around people in the church, you find out what? That they aren't perfect. That they do things wrong, which makes you think, I'm in the wrong place. I don't want to be here. And a lot of people get to this stage and stay in this stage. They never grow through it to the next stage. So what comes next? For me, it was growing from thinking, I don't want to be here, to wherever I am, I need to contribute. I must contribute as much as I can. Stage two is focused on the faults of others and what they do wrong. Stage three is focused on the needs of others and what I should be doing. And this course doesn't mean we ignore problems. If we were supposed to ignore problems, we wouldn't have most of the New Testament. We wouldn't have most of Paul's letters. Matthew 18, if you want to turn there for our first verse. I'm not going where you think I'm going. So it's easy to remember verses 15 through 17, which end, if he refuses to hear you, treat him like a heathen. So it's easy to dismiss people, relatively easy. What's not easy is in verses 21 through 22, Matthew 18, verse 21 through 22. Peter came to Jesus and said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said, I'm not saying to you up to seven, but up to 70 times seven. Which means what? people will sin against us, and they may do it more than once. Peter's understandings of the boundaries of forgiveness were off by at least a magnitude of 70. And of course, the point was that our willingness and eagerness to forgive should be unlimited. Ephesians 4, verse 2, you don't need to turn there. Ephesians 4, 2 says that to walk worthy of our calling, we must do what? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. We have to bear with each other as we grow and stumble and overcome. Someone once said, wherever you are, be there. And the point is, wherever you are, contribute and care and comfort as much as you can, and bear with others in God's love. So I mentioned services and congregations. I've also gone through a transformation in how I think about the feast. And I've come to think of the feast as not just critical because what it reveals about God's plan, but what it reveals about us. Who are you and I becoming? One of my favorite speakers said, the important thing on a job is not what you get, it is what you become. And that's true of the feasts. The most important thing about the feast is not what we buy or what we eat or we get to do. It's the kind of person that we are becoming. So my stages for the feast was, first I was just grateful to be able to go. I remember looking forward in the next stage to what I get to do and buy. And now I'm at a different stage. And this really was a result of being around people who didn't have a lot. Didn't have a lot of money. Didn't have a lot of things. Being around some misfits. And those experiences generated this one main thought that I have at the feast. No one gets to be lonely. No one gets to feel left out. No one gets to go without if there's anything that I can do to help it. And I know many other people have the same thoughts, which we should, because what is the feast about? Again, you don't need to turn there, but Deuteronomy 16:14 says, and you shall rejoice in your feast. So you and I get to rejoice. You get to rejoice, but you and who else? Your son, your daughter, your servant, the Levite, and the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Deuteronomy 26:11 says, rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you. So whatever we have at the feast, the time we have at the feast was given to us. And it wasn't given just for us. It was given for us to share with others. If you want to turn to Luke 10, verse 33 through 37, this will be the last verse. Luke 10, verse 33 through 37. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And in this story, there's a man that's been injured, and a priest sees him and walks by, and a Levite sees him and walks by, and a Samaritan sees him, and he stops, and he helps. So what was the difference in thinking? The priest and the Levite think, if I stop to help this man, what's going to happen to me? And the Samaritan thought, if I don't stop to help, what is going to happen to him? In verse 33, when the Samaritan saw a need, what did he do? He had compassion. He didn't walk past the need. He walked towards it. He visited and cared for the person in need. Verse 37 in Luke 10, verse 37, Christ said what? Go and do likewise So we are instructed and commanded to go to the feast, and we are also commanded to go likewise. Do not walk past someone in need. Brethren, we appear to be nearing the end stage of this age, and who knows how many more safe feasts are left. So let us settle it in our heart to be our best, to be better at this feast.